And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. 75 years ago or so, in her essay, The Dogma is the Drama, Dorothy Sayers included a hypothetical exam paper testing the average Englishman's knowledge of basic Christian doctrine. After a question and answer each about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, comes the fourth. Question: what is the doctrine of the Trinity? Answer: the Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the whole thing incomprehensible. Something put in by theologians to make it more difficult, nothing to do with daily life or ethics. With her characteristic wit, Sayers decried the remarkable ignorance of Christian teaching in a supposedly Christian nation. And we all know that such ignorance has only grown. Indeed, I suppose it's not inconceivable that similar exam results could appear on a seminary entrance test. Even if not openly expressed, the sentiment is certainly there. For most people, even Christian people, the doctrine of the Trinity is not only baffling, but mostly irrelevant. One God, and yet three persons. There's nothing logical, reasonable, or practical about it. It is all just incomprehensible. Have you felt the sense of foreboding and bewildered awe that emanates from the congregation each spring when the Athanasian Creed gets dutifully rolled out for its annual command performance? The perplexity is matched only by the relief after the deed is done. And rare is the parishioner who will dare to say much about it for fear of exposing his ignorance or confusion and giving others reason to question his orthodoxy over some odd but apparently important point of doctrine. Given the obvious difficulty of the doctrine, it is no wonder that religious people like Joseph Smith and Charles Taze Russell saw the doctrine of the Trinity as an impediment to faith and declared it a concocted teaching, which is ironic considering the wanton creation of unique doctrine common among both their Latter-day Saints and Jehovah's Witnesses. And yet, whether easy or difficult, Orthodox believers confess one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. We confess what we do not and cannot understand. And that's just fine, because faith is not predicated on understanding. In fact, faith demands the opposite. Faith demands ignorance. But that doesn't sound quite right, especially not in a place committed to imparting knowledge about God. Maybe we should say it this way. Our goal is to make Christians not who understand. Our goal is to make Christians who don't know. Our goal, in other words, is to make Christian agnostics. That sounds even worse. See, the thing is, though, that no matter how it sounds, it's true. Gnosis is not the goal. Knowing is not the objective. To require knowing and understanding is to thwart and kill faith. St. Augustine made the same point some 15 centuries ago. What then, brethren, shall we say of God? For if you have been able to comprehend what you wanted to say, it is not God. If you have been able to comprehend it, you have comprehended something else instead of God. If you have been able to comprehend him as you think, by so thinking you have deceived yourself. This then is not God, if you have comprehended it, but if it is God, you have not comprehended it. How therefore would you speak of that which you cannot comprehend? And so it is that at the very core of our Christian faith, the foundation and bedrock of our lives, is a mystery we cannot ever comprehend. You cannot wrap your mind around God. It simply can't be done. Augustine reminds us of the truth implicit in every Trinity Sunday, indeed in every Trinitarian invocation, benediction, or doxology. God is ineffable, incomprehensible, and beyond all human capacity. Or, as Howard Wass in his typically pithy prose puts it, theology is a discipline whose subject should always put in doubt the very idea that those who practice it know what they are doing. It is the first and abiding lesson of all theology. God is God, and you are not. Stop trying to figure God out. But if confessing the Trinity is hard, it's probably even harder to resist trying to figure out this Trinitarian God. Ever since our first parents reached for the fruit and tried to grab hold of divinity for themselves, we have all been prone to follow suit. We don't like being limited. We don't like being ignorant. We don't like being told there are things we can't know because we cannot ever understand them. We're incapable of it. We don't like being limited to being human. The inclination to grasp and conquer the truth of God is not only the sin of rationalist Arian heretics like Smith and Russell and all their followers. And it's not just the unique temptation of the rarefied handful of exceedingly brilliant human beings who contemplate the truths of existence in this universe and reach conclusions about what God must or must not be like based on their thinking. No, even the most ordinary, down-to-earth, common-sense-loving human beings are all prone to think about God and reach conclusions about God based on what seems right to them. You do it too. When God does things or allows things that don't line up with your sense of justice or your ideas about goodness, you'd like to know why. You want to understand this God who's not doing what you believe God should do. You want God to meet your expectations and live up to your standards of right and wrong and compassion. You want God to do what you know God is supposed to do. God, though, is God. You are not going to get your mind around his reality. You can't figure him out or comprehend him. You can't know all there is to know about his being or his truth. And when you try, you sin. You don't need to know why God does what he does. You don't need to know how he can be three persons and yet one God. You don't need to know how a God who is complete and self-sufficient and unchanging can act in time and respond to creatures he has made. You don't need to know any of this. You don't need to know the answers to the mysteries of the universe or the secrets of its creator. You only need to know what God wants you to know. You only need to know the part of the story that he has told you and shown you. You don't need the God of the heretics or the rationalists or the philosophers or even the theologians who just end up worshiping their own understanding. You just need the God of the story. You just need the God who reveals himself in his work. The God who simply is, speaks, and light flashes into existence. He speaks again, and space opens up in his new world. He speaks another time, and there's dry land, and then stars, and planets, and birds, and fish, and a best zoo ever, Jurassic Park, jammed full of animals. He does all of that just by speaking. All of that just by the power of his word. And then the God who simply is does a remarkable thing. He reaches into the world he has made, digs into the dust and mud, crafts a body, breathes into that body his spirits, his ruach, and makes a man. The Lord God, God's eternal word, and his eternal spirits make man. He makes you. That's what God does. That's the God who is. You don't need a God that straddles the heights of your greatest thoughts or who conforms to your understanding. No, you need the only true God who does whatever he chooses, however he chooses. You need the one God who creates and engages and loves his creation. This is the God you can know, the one who has made himself known. You need this God. You need the only God who creates and cares, because when you make a mess of being a creature, and you will, you need the God who alone is able to make you right again. You need the God who did even more than stoop down to form you out of the mud. You need the God who actually joined himself to his creation by becoming just as human as you are. That is a truth that no human could ever conjure. That the only true God, who is creator and Lord of all, would enter fully into his creation, would become part of his creation. It is an idea even more inconceivable, incomprehensible, than one God who is three persons. The doctrine of the Trinity, not easy. It might seem esoteric and unnecessarily confusing, like a trick played by someone trying to make things difficult. But the complexity or the sublimity of the doctrine is not the point. Whether or not God makes sense is not the point. Whether or not God does what we think he should do is not the point. The point is for you to confess the one God who acts in time and space, the God who creates, who loves, who sacrifices, who redeems, who dies, and who rises for you. That's the point. You confess the Trinity because that is the reality that God has made known to you. It is the truth declared by Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created you, redeemed you, and will raise and glorify you. He is the only God you need. Today you celebrate the only God you need. The festival of the Trinity is not a celebration of the ineffable or the sublime or the God of philosophers or kitchen table thinkers. The festival of the Trinity is the celebration of the God who is, who makes himself known, known in and with and for his creation. You do not need to understand or figure out the Trinity. You just need to receive the truth he gives you. Celebrating the Trinity means there's nothing to be figured out. There's just God's glory to praise and God's gifts to receive. To be Trinitarian is not a matter of knowing or explaining. To be Trinitarian is simply to live and tell God's story the way that he has unfolded it. That true story is the only one you need. That true God is the only one you need. Amen.